Welcome to Saints History, told and experienced the way God intended it, with excessive amounts of alcohol and cursing. The booze is probably bourbon because...
Other alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Now, here's your drunk Saints History host, who is...
bombed out of his gourd.
Alright, it's time for another episode of Saints Drunk History. This episode, we're joined by Dave. I'm Ralph Marlboro. We've done some fun stuff. We did the Ditka years, one and two. We did the NFC Championship. Now we're doing the 2005 Katrina season, which sort of gets like blots from the like we don't even include it in like the Saints record book. We're like, 2005, whatever happened on the field, it doesn't count. It was just 2005. It was crazy shit.
Way to be depressing, Ralph.
It was, but the thing about the 2005 Katrina season, you can't just talk about, like, on the field stuff. You got to talk about, like, the craziness beforehand. And the thing was, like, Katrina hits, and the Saints are, like, in Oakland. That's, like, probably, like, one or two Saints games in my entire life that I didn't listen to or interact at all. Like, I don't even know. Did the Saints even do a broadcast with Jim Henderson or whatever? Is there, like... There's probably, like, no record of it from the Saints' end, right? So, Katrina comes, and it's a disaster, and New Orleans, everything, right? And people are digging out, and the Saints, at first, sort of, like, fell off the radar, right, Dave? Like, people are like, you know, we gotta, you know, recover the bodies of the dead. We gotta save people there in their houses. We gotta get people evacuated, you know, People are dying, like, football is not the main thing, but pretty soon after Katrina hit, like, the Saints came back around, and they're like, whoa, they're going to San Antonio, and the mayor is, like, talking to Benson, and they're, like, gonna go to San Antonio full-time. New Orleans, like, stopped and was like, hold the fuck up. Like, I know that I got a flooded house and we got a devastated city, but you're taking the Saints over our fucking dead body. And, like, people were freaking out. And the Saints, like, Tagliabue had come, and, like, if you watch the press conference with Tagliabue, Benson is just in the corner, like, seething. Because Tagliabue was like, you ain't going to Benson. You ain't going to San Antonio full time, buddy. You're going back to Baton Rouge and you're playing games. The NFL is not going to be a part of Katrina hit and you scampered off to San Antonio forever. And the NFL let this happen. Like, Tagliabue was like, that isn't going to be on my watch, buddy. And you could see just Benson, right, like, sitting there, like, seething at the press conference. But, like, by then, New Orleans was like,
and we're lucky to have Tagliabue in charge at that time.
We were. And look, as for the longest time on Canal Street Chronicles, a fine website you used to run, my tagline when I used to get in there and comment, it was a quote from Andrew Juge, who said, Paul Tagliabue deserves the finest hookers and steaks when he's in New Orleans for the rest of his life. And that was my little quote on my profile, and it's probably still there, and I believe it 110%. Paul Tagliabue is a fucking hero to New Orleans. You might hate Goodell, but Tagliabue is a fucking hero. And if I ever meet the man, I'm going to hug him. That's how much I think he means to New Orleans. And I know...
there wouldn't have been a bounty gate with Tagliabue.
No, and if you want to say Peter King and Jeff Duncan, they want to spin history and say it was Goodell as second in command, and he did a bunch of bullshit, okay? Tagliabue was the guy who was the commissioner and was fucking in charge. I am so drunk. Wow. I am so drunk. But he was in charge, and he's
keep
the
drinking.
Guy. He's
keep
the
drinking.
Guy. He was the guy, and... I can tell you flat out, if you're a Saints fan and you ever see Paul Tagliabue in, like, a high-end New York restaurant or Georgetown, Washington, where he lives, if you see him, hug him for me. That's what I'm saying. Hug Paul Tagliabue. He deserves it. So the Saints are like, we're going to play four games in – I think they played four in Baton Rouge. They played the game in New York. They played, like, three in San Antonio. Like, it was a clusterfuck. Like, we talked
to – that's right. They played the one in New York.
Yeah.
At the start of the season, and then they do the three in San Antonio and the last four in Baton Rouge.
But I will say, for on-field stuff, they went to Carolina, and it's a top five win in Saints history. They went to Carolina and beat Carolina 23-20. Played phenomenal. Like, they played great. Like, they looked like the good Jim Haslett teams of 2001 to 2004. Like, the Jim Haslett teams were always, like, 9-7, 7-9, or 8-8, right? But the Jim Haslett team, they would look good, and you'd be like, damn, they look good. Like, that Saints team, they looked good. They ran – Deuce ran good. Brooks
– ran well.
He ran – you know, I like good because I'm drunk. You know, so it was.
Now wait. So Ralph, were you in 2005? Were you living in New Orleans?
No, I was not. I was living in New Orleans. I lived. This is funny. The week of Katrina, the Saints did a deal for Deuce McAllister and signed him to the big extension. I believe they did that either the Tuesday before Katrina or the Tuesday before that. And I was working at WBL, and I went out to the press conference, and my phone just started – I had the old, like, flip phone, right? Mm-hmm. And it just started going crazy.
With Nokia.
No, like, I flip phone. It just started going crazy because I was looking for jobs, you know, because Buddy D had passed away, and it was Kenny Wilkerson and Bobby Hebert, and I was still producing the show, and I liked it. But I was like, you know, here's the thing people don't know about radio is, like, if you're not on air – as a local guy, you make, like, no money. So I'd be like, they'd be like, you produce the Saints pre- and post-game show. You must make a lot of money. I made no money. So I was looking for a job, and I, like, got a job interview with the Orange County Register, and I did the interviews, like, on the phone, like, the week before Katrina. And then Katrina hit, and I was staying with my dad in Lacombe, and I told my mom, who went to Mississippi's, I was like, look, I don't have a phone line. But I got in touch with her. I was like, you call the Orange County Register. You tell them I want that fucking job. So my mom, like, I can imagine that phone call. Like, my mom was like, hello, Orange County Register? Yes, you interviewed my son. He would like that job very much. So I was in California, long story short, for the most exclusive. But I was in New Orleans. I was in Lacombe for the first three games of 2005. Okay. So that Carolina game, I watched. That game was phenomenal. Like, the Saints played great. They won. And there was this sense of, like, you know what? Maybe the Saints can, like, rally and, like, it could be this great story. Like, they're ravaged by Katrina. They're practicing in a parking lot.
I think they were on, like, the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah,
that
like after the storm, people were pumped. And then they just went and they lost to the Giants 27-10, and they lost to the Vikings 33-16. They beat Buffalo.
How was that the Giants game?
Yeah, they. How was that? Was that weird? Like, the Saints were pissed. They were like, "This is not a fucking home game, buddy."
Yeah, so that was technically their home opener. They were supposed to play that game in the Superdome. Obviously, they couldn't. So the NFL decided that they'd play the game in New York, since they could, and the Saints would be the home team. So it was really weird because you're in this was the Meadowlands. This was before
they built
the new. Yeah, this is before they had the new stadium. Also known, I always thought it was funny that people called it Giant Stadium, but the Jets played in it, and I always felt like as Jets fans must feel slighted that people always call it Giant Stadium. But anyway, so it was weird because you're in that stadium, and I have been to the Saints Giants games before in that stadium, and you're in it, and they've got Saints painted in the end zone, and they're playing Saints Saints ads and New Orleans type ads on the, and they're playing New Orleans music and Who Dat and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, whatever. This is all bullshit.
Yeah, and I had really good seats.
Hashtag fake stadium.
but I do have to say that, I mean, this was being in New York. I'm sure it was like this everywhere. Everybody went, but as being a quote unquote refugee for 2 months in New York, everybody was super nice, and everybody was kind of very curious about it. I mean, you got to remember back then. This was the game at Giant Stadium in the Meadowlands was like 2 weeks after the storm and all of this was going on.
And it started terribly, didn't it? Like Michael Lewis like fumbled open and kickoff. Like it was a disaster from the jump,
I think exactly that. But But I mean, this was still the time when people were it was still on the news all the time. Yeah. And so, I mean, everybody was like, oh, what's going on down there? I mean, everybody in New York was so nice to us, and they thought it was so cool that we were Saints fans at the game, and they had a lot of questions, you know, oh, how's your house, you know, blah, 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 what's going on? You know, they see the stuff on the news, and they want to know whether that's actually true, or, you know, they want to know what the difference is between the news and real life and all that kind of stuff.
Totally. I firmly believe the Orange County Register hired me because I was a Katrina refugee. I was wholly unqualified for that job at the time. And they hired me because I was a Katrina refugee. But, you know, it was good of them.
I feel like I got some special treatment in New York being, you know, I had an ID, you know, that said I was from New Orleans. And it's like you flash that around and people were like, oh, my God, I feel so bad for you. Let me buy you a drink or let me do this or let me do that.
Dude, I called up a woman and I was like, I got to rent an apartment because I'm moving to Orange County. I'm from New Orleans. I got this job. Like, she found me like this, like, it was like a mother-in-law unit attached to a house. And the people real estate agency, they like donated stuff to me because I was like, I don't have any, all the stuff I would have brought is like flooded and destroyed. I don't have anything to bring. I'm just bringing clothes. So they like gave me like furniture and sets, and it was like really nice of them. So me and my mom, because my mom drove out there with me when I drove, like we were really touched. Like they set up the apartment for me and like had us, I was like really touched. So, but the 2005 season, like I feel like the moment that it hit us, where we're like, "This is fucking hopeless." The first game in San Antonio, they beat Buffalo 19-7. JP Lossman, former Tulane quarterback. You know?
Oh, JP Lossman.
JP Lossman. The Saints.
Well, if
like,
we can't beat JP Lossman, then we don't.
Yeah. So they win, and they're like, they're 2-2. So you're like, they're 2-2.
He graduated with me.
Yeah, it's the same old Saints with Hazlitt. They're going to be 8-8. Katrina, a nuclear bomb. It doesn't matter. Hazlitt's going 8-8. It's what he was born to do, right? And then they went to Green Bay, and they got beat 52-3. And you were like, oh. You're like, and I remember, like,
was that the game that Deuce, what game
that
did
was the game,
Deuce get
that
injured?
That was the game Deuce got injured and was out for the year.
Yeah.
So you were like
towards ACL, right?
Yeah, towards ACL, and he was out for the year. So you're, and I remember Chris Berman. He at the prime. I was watching prime time, and he's like, you know, he's like the Saints. They're in San Antonio. They're living out of a hotel. They're practicing in a parking lot. He's like, some weeks this is just gonna happen to them, and you can't hold it against them. It's Katrina, and this is just gonna happen. And at first I was like, fuck you, Chris Berman. 52-3 just doesn't happen. And then I thought about it. I was like, yeah, he's probably right. Like, we're probably gonna have a lot more ass. We're probably gonna have a lot more ass kickings to watch.
That game, that Green Bay game, that had to have been probably around in October.
October 9th.
Yeah, because I remember this because I was I was in New York staying with my parents, and I was working delivering pizza.
Oh wow!
Just to make money while if I'm. I can't be at home. I'm living with my parents in New York. Like, what am I going to do all day?
You are not the T-shirt magnet that you are today. That's what you're saying. That's what you're telling
the people.
This
is a couple of years. I was working at the store, but this was a couple of years before I actually owned it. So I didn't have all that responsibility and didn't have to deal with all of that stuff that had to, go on with the business. But I mean, yeah, but you're living with your parents in New York for 2 months. I mean, you got to do something during the day.
Right?
So I got a job. And of course, I got that, I got the help from FEMA and all that kind of stuff. So, but I did. My friend owns a whole pizza empire in Long Island, and he got me. I'm serious, and he got me a job delivering pizza. So,
is this good pizza?
It's literally the best on Long Island. They win the award every year. It's actually like the greatest pizza you've ever eaten in your life. but anyway. So it was kind of hard for me to stay up with the game. I saw the Carolina game. I remember I went to a bar to watch the first home game against Carolina. I was at the Giants game, the away game against Carolina. I was at the Giants game, but the rest of those games from September to October, I had a hard time following and paying attention to. But I remember the Green Bay game. I remember because I was working and delivering pizza, and I kept going back to the restaurant to pick up pizzas and asking for a score update. And the score just kept getting worse and worse. And they told me about Deuce and all that. And I was like, this is, oh my God, like, this is terrible.
This is the worst. And the thing was for me,
stop talking to me.
Like, I went out to I drove out to California the day after the Green Bay game, and I saw all them games. I trekked out to sports bars and found sports bars, and the Saints were terrible, so it would be like in the TV in the broom closet. I watched all them goddamn games. The only game I missed was the New England game, which was actually close. But they lost like heartbreakers. They had like a kick blocked at the end to lose to Atlanta 34-31. And then the beatings just started. They lost to the Rams 28-17. They went and they played the Dolphins under Nick Saban. And Nick Saban had Joey Harrington quarterbacking, and it was just like 21-6. But it was one of those games where it's like in the middle of the second quarter, it's like 13-3, and you're like, the Saints could play until fucking Wednesday, and they're not fucking scoring. Like, it was just, you know, it's like one of those games, you're not technically out of the game, but you're never in it. And that's how the games were. And they lost to Chicago at home, like 20-17, in like really like awful fashion.
That was in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was at that game. I was at the last four games in Baton Rouge. Those were miserable.
So actually, the last win of the Aaron Brooks era, they went and they played a Sunday night game against the Jets, and they went to New York and they won. They beat the Jets 21-19, and I feel like we need to investigate it because it was the last win that Aaron Brooks had. It was the last win that Jim Haslett had.
I don't remember that game at all.
Aaron Brooks, 17-23 for 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Oh, you don't remember it at all.
I have no recollection of that game.
I have. You're like getting interviewed. I have no recollection of that at all.
I'm testifying in front of the Senate.
Aaron Stecker was the Saints' leading rusher, 54 yards.
I remember
yards.
Stecker, number 27.
Stecker was fun, man.
He was a good backup guy.
He was a good back. Yeah. So, you know, the Saints, they had that. That was the last win. But the most, and I will say, the most fun of the 2005 season for me personally was the Detroit Lions game. I was living in California, but I flew home for Christmas because I didn't know anybody in California. I'm like, I got to fly home. I flew home, and the Saints were playing on Saturday, Christmas Eve, in the Alamo Dome. And by then, they're like 3-11, or, you know, they're 3-11. And it's all like, fuck it, we want to win, we want to lose, and we want the number one pick, and we want Reggie Bush. Like, that's what it was. That's how I was. And I don't know how you are, Dave, but like, there comes a point where I'm fine with rooting for the Saints to lose, because playoffs are done, and maybe you want the coach fired, maybe you want a higher draft pick, whatever. It's the Saints are your hobby. You can do whatever you want. If you want to root for them to win every week, fine. If you want to lose, fine. I don't give a shit. I am so drunk. But anyway, I'm at home, right, Dave? What's that?
Who specifically roots for a team to lose?
I did. I was on. The Saints are playing Detroit, and
for one game, yeah. But I mean,
yeah, like for one game. So I'm like,
the whole season.
I'm like, they got.
I'm gonna watch all the Falcons games and just watch root for them to lose.
Well, like once they get to like 3-9, I'm like, the playoffs are done. You want people fired? I wanted Haslett fired.
No, I hear you.
I wanted Reggie, but I was like, so I was rooting for them to lose. So they're playing Detroit, and it's just fucking miserable. Like, Detroit, I don't even remember who their coach was, but, you know, it's just a fucking miserable game. And it's the Saints are winning 9-7 in the middle of the third quarter. Like, they're not even scoring touchdowns. And they're losing, they're winning 12-10. And I'm like, come on. So you have to lose this fucking game. I'm like yelling at the TV at home. And my mom's like, what are you doing? I'm like, we want Reggie Bush. We want Hazlitt fired. They need to fucking lose this game. I've been entertained for 3 hours, but now the Saints
was 4-12 going to be that much of a difference between 3-13?
Well, but it matters for the draft pick, right? 3-13.
Yeah, I guess.
Like if no, but if they if the Saints win that game and they're 4-12, they pick sixth instead of second. I get mad.
I mean, okay, as far as the draft is concerned, yes. But as far as Hazlitt getting fired, I think 3-13.
I think that was like yeah.
12,
well, that was that like baked in, right? So that's like baked in. To the cake, I'll give you that. But so the Saints are winning 12-10.
Like a shiv.
Like a shiv. They're like, Hazlitt, you're done. So the Saints are, they're winning 12-10. I'm like, fucking Saints, you have to lose this game. And so I'm like, I don't think Joey Harrington,
12-10, which is a weird ass score.
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't think Joey Harrington's gonna get this done, right? So I guess Joey Harrington wasn't playing for the Dolphins in 05. He was playing for the Lions before. I am so drunk. I'm putting Joey Harrington on multiple teams. But so the Saints are in the fourth quarter, right? So Joey Harrington's got the ball. He fumbles. He recovers it, and it's like, so it's like the Lions have a fucking 4th-17 from their own 24-yard line with 37 seconds to go. The Saints win probability at that exact moment, I'm going to pull it up for you. The Saints' win probability at that moment was 95%. Like you got 4th-17 against Joey Harrington at his own 24-yard line. Dave, what would you bet that the Saints would have won that game?
Well, it sounds like I'd bet that the Saints are about to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Dude, Joey Harrington drops back, hits Roy Williams for 40 yards. I'm jumping up and down celebrating. Then Harrington goes incomplete. He completes a 15-yard pass to Roy Williams again, but the Detroit has no timeouts. So they bum rush everybody on the field to set up the field goal and barely get it off. And it's good, and the Saints lose 13-12, and I am ecstatic. And that led to Reggie Bush being a Saints who, look, Reggie Bush didn't live up to what we thought, but the Reggie Bush era was fun, Dave. You got to give it that.
He, you know what?
He was fun. I'd do it again.
I would do it again. In hindsight, you know, he was so hyped. I mean, his college highlights were ridiculous.
It was the Fresno State game was fucking insane.
College highlights were fucking ridiculous. He was doing the most ridiculous shit at USC. I mean, it was he was doing shit that like nobody had seen before.
I remember
it was like cartoonish. Fucking cartoonish.
I remember. At the time, and we'll do another drunk history on Drew Brees signing and all that in 06. But I remember at the time, the girl that I was dating at the time, not my wife. My wife. We got to get that.
Not my wife.
She called me up and she's like, cause she didn't know anything about sports. I should have known we were a horrible match. But she's like,
what was his name?
What? she calls me up and like, you know, because this is before like Twitter and like the instant internet where like news hit instantly. And she like, so I'm at work, I don't know. She calls me up with like, hey, I just saw that like the Texans are, they agreed to a contract with Mario Williams. You're going to get Reggie Bush. Are you excited? And I was like, you better not be fucking joking, bitch. You better not. This better not be no prank.
I will fucking break up with you right now.
I will fucking cut you. And she's like, no. They signed this guy, Mario Williams. They're going to get Reggie Bush. Are you excited? I'm like, I was like I remember being like flush. Like I was like my head started to spin. And I like had to fan myself. And I literally for like 2 hours.
I do declare.
I just like went to YouTube and like watched clips of like Reggie Bush. Like I got no work done. But so like
going back to our original point, even though he wasn't making the same highlight reels in the NFL as he was in college,
still
you know
fun.
What in yeah and he but the thing is like when he was here he caught so much shit. He was always He was always the most talked about. He was a lightning rod for the media and for fans. He was always the most talked about. There were half of he was so divisive. Half of the fan base, you know, liked him and loved him, and half of the fan base felt like he just was not living up to what he was supposed to be and what he was supposed to do. But I mean, he gave us the divisional game against the Arizona Cardinals,
the Monday night game against Minnesota that they lost, but he ran back two punts for touchdowns. I mean, the Tampa game in 06 where he runs the punt back there. But here's the thing about Reggie Bush.
He gave us stuff that we never had seen before. So it's hard to be mad at him.
And here's the thing with Reggie Bush is in 06, they signed Drew Brees. And people were excited about Drew Brees because they were, you know, like, thank God, we're done with Brooks. And we're signing Drew Brees and it's interesting. And it might work out really great.
Shoulder may or may not fall off.
But the thing, and people were really rallying around the Saints and like, look, we Tagliabue brought him back. They're staying. We got to buy tickets. So people were pumped. But Reggie Bush was really like the, I don't know what
you call it. Ass in the seat man.
Yeah, he was like, when they got Reggie Bush on draft day,
in the seat,
like it sold tickets. Like people were like, oh shit, they got Reggie Bush, I'm buying tickets. Like it was the thing.
I think I might be one of those. I think I might be one of those people. Because, I mean, no, I'm serious, like, because I signed up for my season tickets in May of 2016, which would have been after the draft. So I think you can include me in that number.
So look,
I was one of those guys that was like, holy shit, they drafted Reggie Bush.
I'm going to the games. Yeah. But I mean, so it all goes back to 4th and 17. Joey Harrington hit Roy Williams for 40 yards. The Saints ends up losing, They win that game. They draft 6th. They're drafting AJ Hawk, which is like I mean, fucking AJ Hawk. You might as well just fucking set the pick on fire. So I mean, you know,
Or trade it to New England.
So. People like listen to this podcast. They probably by the time they listen to this, Dave, Malcolm Butler's either ecstatic that they got Malcolm Butler and they didn't give up a lot, and people are super pumped, or they gave up a lot to get Malcolm Butler and they're mad, or it's totally fallen through and they're not gonna have any better corners, so people are mad. So just bringing up Malcolm Butler has probably sent 70% of the audience like into like euphoria or rage, which is just great.
I don't think Malcolm Butler is leaving New England.
Fuck you, Dave. Fuck you!
Hashtag System Corner.
Hashtag System Corner ruined my dreams. Fuck you, Dave. So, so is it like, if you want to wrap up the, is there that's my main memory from the Katrina season, the Detroit game. Is there one thing that
I have one other. It was pretty miserable. I mean, obviously, I went to all the Baton Rouge games. They were very miserable. It was very depressing. I mean, I think I was sitting like second row in the corner. I mean, it was empty. You could have sat wherever you wanted to. It didn't matter. I bought the 4-game package.
People felt obligated to do it.
Yeah.
Like it was like a sacrifice. My mom was like,
The 4-game package and we drove, you know, drove the 60 miles there and the 60 miles back. And, I mean, technically I feel like going to all four of those games plus the Giants game. I mean, I feel like I pretty much had season tickets for 2005.
Dude, if you can say you went to all four Katrina games in Tiger Stadium, that gives you like diehard cred for life.
Thank you. That was very early in my fanhood. But the only other memory I have is we were talking earlier about Benson potentially moving the Saints to San Antonio.
The refrigerator! I forgot about the fucking refrigerator with Benson on. Oh damn it!
Well, I mean, it's I have a similar personal story, but you know, obviously, again, I didn't own the store, but I worked there, and it was my life. And so we boarded up the store before we evacuated. And sure enough, when we came back in November, somebody had spray painted on the window wood boards, "Fuck Benson," you know, all over my entire store.
I forgot about him shoving Lee Zurich. God damn it. God.
Well, you can still mention it.
I will mention it. Keep going, and I'll mention it.
Well, I mean, that's it. I have a picture of my store.
People were pissed at Benson.
With "Fuck Benson" spray painted all over it.
People were people went into a rage. People put aside all like, I gotta like I gotta fix my house, rip out sheetrock. I gotta find a place to live. People were like, fuck all that. We're gonna put that on hold. Fuck Tom Benson. And if you think you're taking our team, but you are mistaken. Like people, like for a good, like to think about this, like for the lead on the New Orleans news to be the Saints and whether they're staying or going after maybe the biggest catastrophe in the history of the United States in the last 30 years, besides 9/11, for the lead on the news to be whether the Saints are coming or going, like, that to me shows you what New Orleans feels about the Saints. Like, they would put everything with Katrina aside. The disaster, the Ray Nagin, all of it. Like, it was the second story on the news for like a week. People were freaking out that Benson was going to take the team to San Antonio.
Don't even remind me of Nagin.
Yeah, like it was the it was the main thing. Like people were like, people were like, no, look, the city, it might never be the same. We might be devastated. I might be personally fucked, but you're taking the Saints over our dead fucking body, Benson. It's not happening. And people were freaking out. Like it was the lead on the news. Like he pushed Lee Zurich. Like it was just phenomenal. And now Benson's like trying to give all his money away and do nice things so people like forget about the fact that he wanted to move the team to San Antonio, which is totally fine, whatever. But anyway, I think we
I see Lee Zurich all the time, by the way, uptown. I see him at Company Burger and Martin Wine Cellar. We always seem to be eating at the same place with our family.
I will say this for Lee Zurich. He was the nicest guy, and he, when I was working at Channel 4, and he knew how much I was making as a desk assistant, he would do baseball games for CSN where he would be the field reporter, and they needed a spotter, and I would carry, like, I would wear, like, orange gloves, and I would, like, wave to the camera, and then they would find Lee Zurich, and he would do, like, an interview with a famous LSU alumni in the stands or, like, a funny fan thing. And he knew that I made, like, no money as a desk assistant, but being his assistant on this broadcast for LSU baseball that was on cable or whatever, I would make, like, $300. And he knew that I had no money, so he would always hook me up, and I did that for him, like, 3 or 4 times. And because of that, I always have a soft spot for Lee Zurich. So, Lee Zurich, thank you for hooking me up. I am so fucking drunk! People, you paid, but this is what they wanted, Dave. This is what the people wanted. They wanted us drunk talking about Saints history, and they got it. They got it. So, thanks. We did the Katrina season. Until next week, next month or whatever. Until another episode comes along, whatever. So fuck! I'm so wasted. Thanks for donating. We love you. Goodbye.
Thanks to all of our Saints Happy Hour listeners whose donations made Drunk Saints history possible. Until next time, remember, surviving Saints history is hard. That's why God made alcohol.